All right, you clicked on it now?
Yes.
All right, welcome everybody back to another podcast. Today, I am really excited. I am getting to interview a world champion, Mr. World, Mr. America. I'll tell you more about it. Now, I want to make sure I get your first name pronounced correctly. Is it Annabelle?
Well, let me tell you, Richard, I've been called a lot of things with my name. But you're pretty close, Anibal Lopez.
Anibal Lopez.
Anibal, yes.
So Anibal, I hope he doesn't mind me sharing this, is 80 years old. And
yes.
He, I mean, this is, you know, he's met and spent time with the giants of the game. He'll tell me more about it. People like Steve Reeves and John Grimmick, I think. And,
yes.
And many, many people. He's competed in various things. I'm going to let him give his bio a bit, but he's competed and placed and won Mr. America contest, Mr. World contest. He's in the bodybuilding Hall of Fame as well.
Yes.
And you know, one of the things I will steal a little bit is Steve Reeves, former Mr. America and Hercules, and at one point one of the highest grossing movie stars, with
yes.
Roles in Hercules and stuff like that, told Annabelle that he was his favorite bodybuilder.
Well, he, you know, to me, when I met him once, we were at a meeting in New York City, and I was amazed. To us, Steve Reeves is by the gods, you know,
right
at that
right.
time, you know. So wonderful person. And it's funny that as we were as we finished the event, we were on the elevator, and he says, Annabelle, I want to tell you, you are one of my favorite bodybuilders. I said, wow, that was like crazy, you know.
Yeah, well, I've seen some pictures, and interestingly, I guess it predates, and I guess at one point when I was buying the muscle magazines, I was buying muscle and fitness and things like that, so it was more IFBB focus on their contests, and you competed.
That's correct.
In WBGG and NABBA and those.
Yes.
And, but your physique is reminiscent of a Frank Zane, with a little more,
right.
I think, with a little more muscle on there. And but yeah, some amazing things. I'm just going to, for the people who are watching this, because I'm going to do this both as a podcast where it'll be listen only and a YouTube video, but I'm going to share your site here, your website. So
yes,
no. So there, what you're seeing here is, I guess that's a painting, but that painting does justice of. And recently, Annabelle is also the author of two books. The most recent book being My World of Bodybuilding, which is a little bit of a training manual, from what I gather, but it's also a bit of an autobiography. And
right.
The book is available on the site Annabelle. Lopez.com, as you can see here, but it's also, if you go just to the Kindle store on Amazon, you can get it on the Kindle store. I don't know that there's a link to that on the site here, but if you just
yes.
go to the Kindle store.
There is a link there where it says my book. The difference between getting this book on Kindle or Amazon is that if you order directly from me, I will be able to autograph or personalize the book to whoever purchased the book. That's a big difference.
Okay.
So I get a lot of people ordering directly from me because of that.
Okay. And you get also, you have, you're doing personal training, and there's some various things here. If I click on the memorabilia one here, there's some great photos here of trophies that you've won. And maybe you can see this. Maybe walk us through your contest career here.
Yes, yes. I'm in the process, Richard, right now, of creating a new website.
Okay.
You know, so it takes a little time, but I'm updating a lot of things on this website and make it a little more professional. It's just that it's hard to find somebody that will do a good job, you know, at a reasonable price.
Right. Well, and I notice here your contests. You started, I like that, 1968, Mr. Wagner. You were at the Wagner Fitness Center, and
Yes.
right? But all
Yes,
the
that's
way
correct.
through to winning the New York City, New York State, AAU in 1969, Outstanding Bodybuilder of the Year. Now, at that point,
Right.
would those have been amateur contests at that point?
Yes. I began my professional career in
Okay, and there it
1978.
shows here you are pro Mr. America plus the best legs and arms. I don't know if they still do that back then. And then
No, not anymore.
there was and in 2013 you were inducted into the National Fitness Hall of Fame, which is very
Correct.
cool,
That's correct.
showing various things. So now, one of the reasons when I first sort of noticed you online, whatnot, I'm just going to go back to stop sharing here, is
Sure.
that I first saw your YouTube channel quite some time back and realized that you were a student of, like I am, Arthur Jones and Jim Flanagan and Ellington Darden.
Correct.
And so when I read your book, because I did get the Kindle version, and I read your book, I noticed that during your competitive career, you followed more of the traditional type of training that was in vogue at the time.
Yes.
And you, pro I'm going to guess you probably also know Roger Marsh. Is it Roger Marsh who trained with Mike Mentzer and or am I getting the name wrong here? Oh, this
No. Can't remember.
it'll come to me here. I'm
Okay.
getting the name wrong. But now, so tell me a little
Roger Collar, you're talking about? No.
bit. No, I'll remember it. I'll before. But tell me a little
Okay.
bit about, after training the traditional way, which obviously got you good results,
Yes.
how you came around to more of a abbreviated Arthur Jones style. Where was the transition? You must have been really skeptical at first.
Yes. Well, back when I began, you know, and I hate to say in my times, you know, but at that time, things were a little different. Now, I understand, you know, that I began bodybuilding when I was 12 years old,
Right.
and I went through a lot of changes. But this bodybuilding or weight training captured my attention, and I became very involved in learning more and more. I'm an open-minded person, and if you tell me, Annabelle, this exercise really works great and it does this, I'm going to research it and I'm going to try it. I'll be the judge of that then. And at that time, when Arthur Jones came into play with the Nautilus machine, I was really captured by him. It made sense to me. It
Right.
made sense to me what he was talking about. And I said, this has to work. This has to work. And ever since then, I began in 1979 or 78. I began training with the Nautilus machines. I was one of the guys that tested and trained on the first Nautilus machines
Right.
that he made. And at that time, Steve Mihalik and I, you know of Steve Mihalik,
I
right?
know the name,
Okay,
yeah.
Steve Mihalik and I were training partners. And there was a gym in Brooklyn that had the Nautilus machines because the owner of the gym, you know, he really loved those machines. And that's where I started working and making my transformation, you know, from the conventional way of training to I would say the Nautilus system or Arthur Jones system, because it made sense to me how these machines were made and how they target each muscle in your body in a different way. And I understood that with free weights, it's very difficult to do that. I'm not condemning free weights because that's how we all started. But I always believe that up ahead, something better comes on.
Right.
And we must not be hard-headed and say, no, those machines don't work. They don't work if you don't understand the technology behind this machine, correct?
Right.
Yeah. So that's how I came about. And ever since then, I stopped training, you know. Well, first of all, I never trained more than 4 days a week. And I used to do a split routine. Then after, I learned about the system, and I moved to Florida later on, and I was able to meet, you know, Jim Flanagan and people that knew about the system.
Right.
Really, really completely convinced me of this. But even back then, when I began, you know, back when I was training then, I transformed and I kept cutting down my workouts from 4 days on a split routine, as you could see in my book that I talk about that, you know. But I think it makes sense that we spend too much time in the gym, I believe.
Right.
Not that being in the gym is bad, but why not do in two sessions where you could do in four?
Right.
Because if you do your math and you do a split routine, it was actually taking me four sessions to do my whole body. So when I could have done the whole body in one session and do it in two sessions or three times a week, whichever.
Right.
So, you know, and that I explain in my book, the difference.
So my perception is, and I'm a student, a little bit of the history of the game. I mean, Arthur Jones came up with some new ideas, but some of his ideas, I don't know if it is, like earlier we talked about Steve Reeves. My perception is the guys from that era were likely not, you know, later on when Arnold Schwarzenegger came and he had these long workouts and really popularized, but the guys like Steve Reeves and Leroy Colbert, you mentioned in his book and things like that, my perception, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, is that those guys, they weren't quite down to one set, but they were rarely working out more than 3 days a week. And they were doing maybe two, three sets, but a lot of those sets were warm-up sets. So
yes,
in the old days, they weren't doing nearly as much. And then later on, it sort of became like, you know, six-day routines and twice a day in the gym. Is that accurate that somebody like Steve Reeves might not have trained nearly as much as the modern-day guys?
I believe that if people, you know, a man like Steve Reeves and those all-time greats, which, you know, they're fantastic. Number one, I believe that the machines and the training is not just everything. It doesn't do magic. I think that all the factors involved that people just don't understand, and that is your body structure.
Right.
There's a lot of things, you know, what one guy does training one way doesn't necessarily work for somebody else. And this is what I teach the people that I have trained as a personal trainer. And once they start seeing the result, they say, wow, this makes sense to me.
Right.
So I repeat Arthur Jones' words to them to make them understand that this machine does this and is better than doing this free weight exercise that, you know, is very difficult to do unless you really, really follow the instructions of how to exercise. So the first mistake is that people train too fast. Their movements of exercise are destroyed. Why? Because most of the people work on their positive. I never think about, what about my negative resistance? When I put people, and I show them the difference. Now, do this exercise like this, and now do this exercise, slow it down, and you tell me which one you feel better.
Right.
And, you know, so going back to your question, you know, I think and I believe that if Steve Reeves or John Grimmick or all these other people were around now, I think they will understand this a little better and not have to be in the gym every day. And
Right.
people still do it. Some people you just cannot convince that you don't
Right.
have to be in the gym every day. I have a father, a person that I train. He's an older man. His son works out, and his father comes in and he has learned the system. He says, "I cannot believe that you are right about this." And he has made tremendous progress training, and only 2 days a week. And what, probably an hour and 2 hours, 3 hours a week in the gym. And he says, "I've been trying to convince my son to try this, and there's no way I could do it." And you're not going to do it because that's the mentality that we have. The mentality that we have is that more is better.
Well, I think some of the younger people too just enjoy hanging out in the gym. There's a social thing for them as much as anything else.
Yes.
And
People, go ahead. I'm sorry. Go
a
ahead.
lot of times there's almost as much standing around talking with their buddies as there is actual working, and there's endless sets. I had an experience here where a gentleman came in with his son who works out 7 days a week and does all the cardio and all this stuff. And he's 33 and his father is 69. And I had him do set after set after his father using the same weights as his father. And he struggled like crazy.
Yes,
And I said,
I've been through that.
yeah, so I said, what exactly are you accomplishing with all that extra work? You're having trouble keeping up with your 69-year-old dad.
Yes, look, Richard, I have had professional guys, I'm not going to mention names, that have come to the gym, and I put them through one of my little guys' routine because I'm not a big guy. I have never been a big, guy. That's my body structure is perfect for bodybuilding, but I have never weighed more than 155 pounds at my best. People don't believe that.
At a height
See?
of 5 foot 6, though.
5'6". Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. So I had guys come in, a few guys, very strong guys, training the gym 5, 6 days a week. And in 15 minutes, they are outside my gym throwing up.
Right.
Because they just, I said, but this is what I'm talking about. You are training a lot of hours in the gym, but you're not really, putting your body to the type of training that you should to be better. And and that's the way it is. It's because, like, I have a sign in my gym that says you could train long, you could train, I forgot
You
the name. I have a
can
picture.
train long and easy or hard but
Yeah,
short. I
you could
forget what
train
the
hard, you could train long, but you can't do both at the same time.
right.
So they asked me, "What do you mean by that?" I said, "Well, I could put you through a workout that you spent 2 hours here in the gym, but I could put you through a hard workout and you'll be done in a half hour, if
Right.
not before." That's the difference, So training long, is training every day, putting a lot of time in the gym. Most of the people, like you mentioned before, they just waste a lot of time in the gym, and I just
So
can't see that.
you discovered this methodology. You said around 1979. Did you use it to prepare for contests, or is this after your competitive career?
Yes. That, when I became a professional, I was already using the Nautilus machines.
Right.
And I continued to do that. And that's how I've been training since then. And
So
I went from three, my bodybuilding mentality still was there because I was doing three sessions a week, whole body. Then I discovered, and I was told, no. I said, "You're going to do better with two sessions." And that's exactly how it happened. And that's how I've been training for years. This is the way I train people in my gym. I have had people, most of the people that I train don't spend more than 3 and 3.5 hours a week in my gym.
Right.
And they get fantastic results, whether you want to lose weight, gain weight, get ready for a contest. And I've done it all with different type of people, men and women.
Right. So if you were 25 today and you were
Well, I'd
preparing,
give anything for that.
if you were preparing for that contest, you would what would you do differently than what you're doing now as an 80-year-old person who's keeping in shape and whatnot, or would it be pretty darn similar to exactly what you're doing now?
I will do what I'm doing now, except harder, because I will have more energy then.
Right. So, and interestingly, I competed about 12 years ago, and it was kind of a bucket list thing, and it was an amateur. I was a novice, and I was fortunate enough to come in third place. And there's a first place I got in a master's side, but I usually don't point this out, but there was only one other competitor, and he was 20 years older than me. So I got first out of two. But one thing that a lot of people don't realize is that in bodybuilding, dieting, people, you can be muscular but not look muscular. You have to have the diet, you have to know how to pose.
Yes.
It's almost a little bit, in case some cases, a little bit of an illusion. Because the guys, you shave your body, you get your diet down, you learn to pose in
Yes.
order to show your best parts and hide your other
Yes.
parts and whatnot. And so, working out is one thing, obviously, but there's a lot of other aspects to being
Absolutely.
successful.
Absolutely. Posing. Well, now we're talking about competition. If you're thinking about competing, you have to learn how to pose. See, one of the biggest mistakes that bodybuilders make is trying to look like the other guy. I have had guys come in my gym and they look at my pictures and they tell me, "I want you to make me look like that. I want to do exactly what you did." I says, "Well, let me tell you something, my friend. If you want to look like that, you're going to have to be born from my mother or my father because your genes play a big part." So, going back to the competition, you have to learn how to pose. You cannot see yourself as others see you. So, you need somebody that really is going to be honest with you and look at your body and say, "No, for this competition, this is the best pose for you." I think that when you start posing and you pick more than nine poses to when you're competing, you begin to show your weaknesses. I think between eight and nine poses for a competition will show your physique greatly. I learned that from Bill Pearl and Chris Dickerson. Chris Dickerson used to watch me pose and help me with my posing. May he rest in peace. He helped me a lot, and I learned how to pose from these two persons. I used to travel to California and meet with Bill. He just passed away also, and we became good friends. But my body, and you mentioned something before, is you don't look the same as when you pose. So my people used to tell me, "Annabelle, I cannot believe that you are the same guy that I was just talking to out here, the guy that was posing up there." I was invited to go to Spain one time, and I did a posing exhibition in Spain. And there was this lady, a reporter, that came to me. I was sitting in the audience. Now, I had in clothes, I always looked like a normal person, if you want to use that word. She interviewed me and she didn't put much attention to the looking at me and looking at my pictures. So when I went up at night and I did my posing routine, she ran backstage and she says, "I have to interview you again. I cannot believe you're the same guy I was talking to this afternoon." I says, "Too late. You had your chance."
And I've heard that before.
To close this out, I know I'm interrupting you,
No,
but
no problem.
time is short. I always remember something that you remember Bob Hoffman from New York. Bob Hoffman was a big man. So a couple of times he invited me to event, like dinner events or things like that. And what his introduction to me, he would call me up. I will stand next to Bob. Bob was over 6 feet tall, right? I'm standing next to him. Bob will put his arm around my shoulder, and he tells the audience, "You see Anibal Lopez here? Do you see how normal he looks in clothes? He doesn't even look like the bodybuilder." But you know what? When Anibal Lopez takes his clothes off and starts posing, he makes big guys look small.
Right,
That was
right.
his introduction.
Yeah, now, and you bear a resemblance too. And I'm bad this morning. I'm forgetting names. There was a bodybuilder, IFBB guy, short guy. I think similar stature to you, but he was known for being a legendary poser. Do you know who I'm referring to? He had a mustache like yourself. Geez, I have a poster of him just in the other room. Around the era of Arnold and Mike Mentzer.
Oh, let me see if I come up with the name. I think you're talking about the Hawaiian guy.
Yeah, I think so, yes.
Yes.
And he was
Yes,
a
he was a master poser, yes.
he was like a work of art doing it. And you know, you look at it, I'd like to know your opinion on, you know, you talked about Bob Hoffman, who used to have a magazine called Strength and Health.
Yes.
And there was a word health in there and physical culture and things like that. And it was about health and bodybuilding and whatnot. And now, what's your thoughts about bodybuilding today compared to your day? And has the sport gotten worse, gotten better? I mean, the guys are huge, but it's become, I have an opinion, but I'll rather than give you my opinion, what's your thoughts on the evolution of bodybuilding as a sport?
Well, I'm often asked that question, and I have a very easy answer for that. Something that we do because of health reasons, something that's supposed to be good for us, correct?
Yeah.
Exercise. We tell people exercise is good for you, taking care of your body is good. How can something that's supposed to be so good and healthy for you has become so self-destructive?
Right.
That's my question. That's my answer to that. Nowadays, it's a shame. It's a shame how people do not think about this. And think about this, Richard. How many bodybuilders have already passed away at their early age? It's crazy.
Yeah, it's that's right. It's and I mean, the other thing too is that I am under the perception that, I mean, you always wanted to be lean to be able to show the muscle you had. But my thought is that today there's almost too much emphasis on being lean, like being incredibly lean. Because if you look at Steve Reeves, if you look at the guys and yourself, you were lean, but
Yes.
it was still within health because, of course, overweight is the problem that most people have from a health standpoint, but you can actually be underweight. And my thought is that the standards by which people, you know, get down to leanness is beyond what's healthy. Does that make sense to you?
Well, what happens here is that again, I go back to what I mentioned before. Looking at other bodybuilders and wanting to look like that person. You see, that is a little misleading because we know people from pictures. You know me from pictures, but you really, really don't know my background, you know, my genes, you know, my body structure, my bone structure. All
Right.
that takes a play. So, what do they do? They read this bodybuilder's diets and exercise regimes, and they try to imitate that person.
Right.
Not instead of tailoring their workouts to their body.
Right.
See, eventually, if you continue to do this, you're going to find out what works best for you now that you have learned this system of training. More is not better.
Well, and the other thing too is, you talked about genetics. You talked about how people look different with clothes on than they do with clothes off, particularly.
Yes.
And that's very, very true. And sometimes I say, you don't want to look like the magazine cover. I mean, maybe you do, because obviously you were on the magazine cover, you had the genetics and were able to do that and train smart. But let's face it, 99.9% of us will never look like the person on the magazine cover. And I
Correct.
say, but one of the things I point out is even the people on the magazine cover don't look like the person on the magazine cover, because they're being
Yes.
photographed at a specific moment in time when they're in top shape,
Yes.
and often, and they pose in a way that's most complementary to their physique.
Yes.
And in some
Correct.
cases, I suspect there's maybe even some Photoshop going on and things like that.
Nowadays, it's very easy to do that.
Yeah, so that's the only way I'll ever be on a magazine
Yes.
cover.
Yes, when you people don't understand that when you are photographed by a professional, the lighting makes plays a big difference. Right now, you and I are speaking here, and if we had a professionally fixed room here for myself, I will look different. I will I everything will look completely different. Your background and all, because the lighting may plays a big part. And I learned about that early in my career, that when you pose, even when you do personal training, even I mean personal posing routines, or you're doing an exhibition, I used to make sure that the lighting was perfect. So when I come out to pose, I transform myself.
Well, and interestingly, when I work out, I mean, there's certain workouts and certain times you can see me, and I think a lot of people would probably go, geez, I don't even think that guy works out, right? And that's with my shirt off. But then when I finish my workout and I go up to take a shower, there's a window just outside of my bathroom where the sun, at the right time of day, the sun comes in
Yes.
just perfect. And if I turn the right way so that the sun is reflecting and showing some definition, whatnot.
Yes.
I've taken pictures of that, and I don't look half bad. I look like somebody who's quite fit and
Right.
has some muscle. Whereas in a different scenario, where of course, and I'm flexing at that point as well too, but a different
Yes.
scenario, relaxed, you can barely tell, that I lift weights. And
Yeah.
Arthur
Yes.
Jones, I think, once said something to the effect that, and in your book, you talk about different body types, the ectomorph and the mesomorph and the endomorph.
Yes. Yes.
And Arthur said, an ectomorph could lift weights for 30 years and you probably never even know it. And a mesomorph, that's
That's correct.
a mesomorph, probably, even if he never lifted weights in his life, as long as he's lean enough, will already look good.
Yes, absolutely. I believe that. And I have a picture of that, a drawing of the three different body parts. And when I have somebody new come in to work out, I put them through a process of teaching them before we begin. This is what's going on. Because right away they ask me, why can't I accomplish this like this? How come you look like this and I can't look like this? So then I begin a process of these three photos there of this purple, I know, and has and their name. They have never heard about that, most of the people.
Well, and what is the average age of the people that you train today?
I have men and women that I train, and they up until the late 60s, I would say. Yeah.
So like myself, and I that would be the case. And of course, appearance, and I'll defend vanity. There's nothing wrong with wanting to look good and taking pride in your appearance. But many of my clients want to age gracefully. They want to be 80 years old and be like you, where they can't They can still play with their grandkids, and they can still do the activities they enjoy doing. And you know, a lot of people
Yes.
at your age have walkers, and a lot of people at your age are in retirement homes, and they have to have medical professionals helping them with, you know, going to the bathroom and bathing
Yes.
and
That's
dressing
correct.
and all that. So that's it's nice to look good, but as you get older, that sort of, you know, being able to do the things that you can do, that you need to do, is quality
Yes.
of life.
Yes, it's very important, and I always tell everybody, look, especially people that exercise are the worst of all, they're the worst enemy, because they want to look the way they look years when they were younger,
right?
Going back 20, 25, 30 years. I says, and I say it in my book, you know, I have a section in my book about the over 50. I says, don't try to be what you were. Be what you could be now.
Right.
You could still work out. You could still work out, but it will be crazy of me, Aníbal López, to try to do a workout like I used to do back in the 70s.
Right.
Or when I was younger, you know? So you make adjustments. Don't worry about what the other guy does. I've been there and done that.
Well, I know that a lot of older people who are training in this way will use pre-exhaustion, not necessarily to increase intensity per se, but let's say if you do a set of leg extensions before you do your leg press, then you can use less weight on the leg press, and it makes it safer for, you
Yes.
know, those older joints rather
Yes.
than, right? So you use pre-exhaustion for that purpose as well?
Yes, sir. I certainly do. I use the breakdown, pre-exhaustion. I use three different routines that I put people through once they are advanced. I have a process of bringing them to that level, but I use the pre-exhaustions. I use the, you know what the breakdown is, right?
Yeah.
Breakdown
Yeah.
routine. And I use one routine that is, I concentrate a little more on the negative workout.
Right.
Okay. So I, you know, every time they work out, they never do the same workout all the time. So I keep a log for every person that I train that looks something like this.
Right.
Now that machine you see there, that's me in 1976 on the first pullover machine, that Nautilus pullover machine,
right,
that was plate loaded. And I keep a log of every person that I train and every session they do in this book. And
right.
I make one for them. And the first thing they tell me, I've been with two other gyms and I never seen anything like that. I says, how can I remember everybody's numbers, you know?
Right,
and
right.
The setting on the machines. I go through a whole process, you know. It's getting a little bit too old for me.
So, is there a point, like I'm still using very similar weights, and I still add a little weight on the weight stack and whatnot. I'm 64. Do you train with a little less weight now to be easier on the joints? But if you had to, if you wanted to, are you as strong today as you were when you were 70?
That's when I was what?
are you as strong today as you were, say, 10 years ago? Are you still?
10 years ago, pretty much.
Okay.
Pretty much.
So
yes.
you're not changing. You're maintaining. So one of the things that I find is that you can retain quite a bit of strength even at an older age.
Yes.
And I have clients who are 70 and whatnot, and I train with them, and they're quickly catching up to me in the weights
Yes.
that they use and whatnot. One of the machines
Well,
that you have that I envy you for, and they're hard to find, is a multi-exercise machine. And I saw a video where you did an amendment to it, or an alteration to it, in order to, I guess, do kind of hip belt squats with it. Or things
which
like
one
that.
which one which machine is that?
The multi-exercise, you know, the one that you do
Oh,
for dips and
yes.
chins and all that?
Yes.
And you did an interesting alteration to it, where you created a platform for it so that you could do, I think it was to do like hip belt squats and whatnot.
The platform that I put there is to, when you want, specifically to do deadlifts on the multi-machine.
Right.
But I also created one that you, instead of using a barbell or the other curling machine, you could do standing curls on the multi-machine too.
Okay, using
standing barbell curls. I have a video out doing that too.
Okay, all right. Well, I'll certainly include a link to your YouTube channel.
Yes.
So tell me more about the book. I get the impression in reading it, this is a labor of love for you. This is something that you've put together and you've taken a lot of pride in. One of the questions I have is, a lot of people who do what we do, they'll put down the old way of doing things, but you've included both in your book. You've included some
Yes.
routines for people who want to do a higher volume, and you've included routines for, you know, high intensity training. So
right.
I guess the question is, why include both?
Well, I don't want to sound, and I don't want to speak against conventional training, because some people do not have access to these machines.
Right.
See, so not everybody is as lucky as you and I. And other people, you know, that have been close to this system that were able to collect these machines. But I believe that, because I get this question a lot. So what if I don't have this machine? How do I do this? I says, okay, you could still do it with regular weights as long as you follow the same instructions as you were doing in the machine. Is to slow down your movements.
Right.
Not do so many exercise, not be in the gym every day. You could still implement that kind of training.
But you've included routines that are 4 days a week and 3 days on, 1 day off, things like that, which you used when you were training.
Yes, yes.
With four sets per exercise and whatnot. When you were doing that, when you were training, my guess is you obviously weren't doing four sets to failure of every exercise. Some of those
you can't,
or else you'd be dead today.
Yes.
So those sets, a lot of those were warm-up sets.
Yes. That's where you waste a lot of time.
Right. Now, did you typically on the fourth set push that one to failure, or you just had a certain set, a number of reps, and then as long as you did it, you had a little more weight the next time?
I always had the mentality of trying to do things better. And one of the things that I learned early in my career was that you have to be sensible about adding weight to your exercises.
Right.
The problem is that a lot of people try to handle weight, heavy weight on exercises that the body or the muscle cannot handle.
Right.
See? So you have to be careful with all these things. You know, we have the, I love the idea, the way Arthur Jones break it down, how to train the heart. You do legs, back, shoulders, chest. And the one that people put the most time in, which one is it?
Biceps and chest.
Exactly. I have taken people, I put them through one set of bicep curls, and they're wiped out. But if you do, you know, up and down, and then I teach them how to do the proper curl, they cannot do so many sets. But people concentrate a lot on chest, bicep, and abdominals.
Right, abdominal. Yeah. People do endless sit-ups. And when I competed, and I do abdominals now, but very little. But when I competed, I didn't do any abdominals at all. When I prepared, I was just doing, you know, I didn't have an abdominal machine, and I didn't do any at all.
Yeah.
I mean, it really came down to diet.
Yes. Yes, I think you know the I always tell people, you know, that they say, oh, you must have spent a lot of time on your on doing abdominals. I say, yeah, no more than 10 minutes.
Right. Yeah. A week.
They don't believe me.
Yeah.
Don't believe me. I said, and I won best just about every contest that I competed at the titles, I won best abdominals.
Right. So now, were you able to stay relatively or completely injury-free even during your bodybuilding time when you were doing a higher volume, or did you suffer any injuries?
Okay, I suffer injuries from improper training, and from the beginning. I had my right shoulder a complete shoulder replacement, and that really took me down. It's been now about 10 years or more since that happened, and I have been able to train myself back into shape again. You know, even though I still had that shoulder replacement. We develop a lot of shoulders. Shoulders are the ones that suffer the most, I believe, in bodybuilding. Okay.
It's a complicated joint. You use it for everything.
Yes. And it's because what I mentioned before, we just don't train them properly. We just don't do the exercise properly because we want to do what everybody else does, you know. And that's one of the things that really hurt me. I know. But I have recovered well, and I teach people now. I teach people not to do what I did.
Well, in fairness, joints, I mean, you're a 1942 model, right?
Yes.
So, I
Yes.
mean, even without it and whatnot, those joints have been around for a while, and it's normal.
Yes.
People who have never exercised, never done anything, I mean, wind up with shoulder issues or hips. Hips are big, right?
Yes, sir.
And that
Yes.
often cases not because of anything they did wrong or right. They just, things wear out after a
Where
while.
they wear out.
And genetically, some people are luckier than others for that type of thing. Because I understand the richest surgeons in the United States are the guys who do hip replacements and cataract surgeries.
Yes,
Because,
sir.
older people. Things tend to wear out after a while. So tell me, in the minutes we have left, tell people listening to this about your book. And we've been talking about it all in a lot in general, but who is the book for? Who will benefit from the book? And what are some of the highlights and why, you're quite proud of this accomplishment that you've had?
Okay, this is a second book that I did. The first one was not I was not 100% happy with it, so I decided to revise the book, do it a little different, make it a little larger so I could put more, demonstrate more exercises. But I always tell people this is an honest book. This is not an exaggerated book to make you buy my book. This is about my life, how I did it, and where I got to where I'm at, and all my accomplishments. And this is why I called, you know, the book My World of Bodybuilding. And this book is written for everybody, for men and women. And I know that you've seen a part of the book, that's the way it's laid out. And I believe that this book will help you begin weight training, and it will help you and take you into the advanced stages of competing, because I cover all the points about that competing. One of the articles that I put there was the one about the over 50. People don't, and we talked about that before, want to do what they did when they were in their early years, growing stages, right? And that's where they make the mistake, where they wind up hurting themselves. We have to be sensible. We have to accept that we cannot look as beautiful as we used to look. You know, so that's the way it is.
Good. Well, I thoroughly enjoyed the book, and I enjoy. I mean, are you familiar with the writings of Ken Hutchins and super slow methodology and things like that?
I cover all those bases. I cover the importance of slowing down your exercise.
Right.
I cover that. Like I said before, this is an honest, not exaggerated book. You know, I just tell it the way I did it and the way I'm still doing it.
And the book has bodybuilding in the title, but the fact is, and please challenge me if you don't agree or correct me if I'm not stating this right, but the way that you would train, whether you're just training for health and functional ability as you get older, or if you were training for a bodybuilding stage, isn't very different, if at all.
Yeah, this is why you know, at the top of the book on this corner here, I make a statement that this is a complete weight training program, including conditioning plan, barbell and dumbbell workouts, stretching exercises, a weight loss regimen, and high intensity workouts with accessory equipment. In other words, you could still do a high intensity workout if you don't have the Nautilus machines.
Right. Oh yeah, absolutely. So, have you met Arthur Jones personally?
Yes, I did. I began to know Arthur, and at that time, he invited me a couple of times to come to, you know, where we have his facilities in Florida, which is not too far from where I live now.
Right.
And I never accepted. I never did it. I wish I had, but we met a few times in person when he was traveling with them, you know, with the bodybuilding shows, and he would bring his machines, and he was quite a character. You
Yeah.
know, I have a lot of respect for him. And at the same time, you know, he was Arthur Jones. He was who he was, and he didn't pull no punches, you know.
So, and but you have been trained by Jim Flanagan.
Jim Flanagan, I spent a year and a half training with Jim. And I had just moved to Florida. I had not been working out, and he whipped me into shape. And one day he says to me, Annabelle, I don't need to, you know, I don't need to train you. You know what to do. You came here, but he says, I'm going to give you one advice. I want you to open a facility for yourself and let's get some Nautilus machines together so you could help other people.
Right.
So I says, yeah, but you know, I used to tell people, if Jim is my trainer, he says, no, I am not your trainer. He didn't like for me to say that, you know, but he was a wonderful person. He helped me a lot. You know, and I learned more. He helped me sharpen up a little more on the high intensity training and the use of the machines.
So where are you in Florida?
I live in Deltona. I'm in between Orlando and Daytona Beach, and I'm about 30 minutes from Jim Flanagan's home.
Now, are you still looking for new clients or do you have all you can handle right now?
Honestly, I really enjoy training people. I do it more to teach them, you know. That's why I have my own place because I could do whatever I want with it, and I was able to acquire all these machines. But I'm really not looking for any more clients. I think I'm coming to the end of the rope of doing personal training.
So
But this is why I have the book because this will stay forever.
is your facility also in your home?
My what?
Your gym, is it in your
My
home?
gym. Yes, I have a separate building in my property. I live in 2.5 acres, and my gym is under these wonderful, beautiful trees where you breathe fresh air. It's not a large gym. It's only made to do one-on-one training.
Okay,
That's all
cool.
I teach.
Yeah, well, great. Well, I really enjoyed, and I hope if you're ever down here in Canada, if you ever want to come visit and do a workout in my gym, and I'd love if I'm in
Wow,
Florida.
that would be great. The only time that I was in Canada was when Robert Kennedy, remember Robert that had
Yeah.
the magazine? He flew me over there
Oh yes,
to do a
Muscle Mag
seminar.
International. Yes.
Yes, and I did a seminar for him, and it happened that it was in the winter. He says, "Wow, I wish it was summer. I will take you to Niagara Falls, and I could do some of the best pictures you ever had."
Right.
I
Yeah.
said, "Well, I'm not taking my clothes off to go over there."
Well,
Or it was not,
you're always welcome if you ever decide to want to come down here.
Yeah, okay.
And it'd be great to have you. You have a place to stay, and if I'm in Florida
Yeah.
that way, I'll be sure to look you up. And let's keep in touch online, social media, and all that. I wish you the very best with the success of the sales of the book, sir.
Well, thank you so much. I was looking forward to this interview because I seen your interviews. I said, yes. I said to my wife, yes, this man is, I'm going to give an interview to. You're very professional. I love your videos that you have done with other people. And I'm going to do the same thing with you. If you're ever in Florida, look me up.
I would
You're
love
welcome
to.
to come over.
All right, I'm getting
Thank you so
ready
much.
for the next session, so I'll let you go for now, and I will email you this interview as well as the podcast one, so you can share it with people around you as well.
I will.
All
Thank you
right.
so much. It's been a pleasure meeting you.
Yes, likewise. All the very best.
Same to you.